Welcome to Healing Scars with Pastor Burton. Here, you'll find practical, relevant, biblical information. The Bible will be broken down verse by verse so that you get the full context of the scripture to better grow in your relationship with Jesus. Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to church. Happy Veterans Day. All right. It's great to have everybody with us. It's great to have everybody who's streaming with us online and everyone who's going to be streaming, you know, who listen to the podcast and everything. So as we get started here today, I'm actually going to ask that everybody stand and face our flag as Brian here is actually going to play taps for us. I would like to point out he is a U.S. Army veteran. Thank you, Brian. Well done. Now, I know it's kind of odd. It's Veterans Day. Thinking, why are we starting with taps? Isn't that something that we do on Memorial Day or like when somebody dies? Well, yes. There's other times that we play it. We actually play it every day in the military. You know, it's a sound that we're all kind of used to, especially towards the end of the day, right? It signifies a lot of things. And first and foremost, which is why we're starting with it today, is being that it's Veterans Day, you know, for those of us who have served, even though it's Veterans Day, we still take a moment to reflect on those that we've lost, all right? And the playing of taps, it does. For everyone who served, it's a very somber moment. We think of those that we have served with, those that have lost, those that we're still in touch with, and the relationships that we have, the memories that were formed, and the bonds. So there's a lot in there, all right? I'm not going to go too much further into that because I don't want to derail the train too much. I want to try to value you guys' time. I don't want to hold you hostage, you know? So it is a very important thing. It's one of those universal symbols, though. This is why we play it. Now, of course, the point of all this, as I said, you know, it's Veterans Day. Happy Veterans Day. That's tomorrow. Today is actually the Marine Corps' 249th birthday. So happy birthday to all my fellow Marines. Okay. So we have a couple things going on there. Actually, before I get there, jump the gun on that slide there. From one vet to another, I mean, it feels weird as a veteran when somebody says thank you for your service. It does. You know, or when somebody calls you a hero. Because none of us looks at ourselves that way, nor, you know, really should we. That's just our mindset, right? However, you know, I do want to remind everybody, you did raise your hand, you did step out and did something greater than yourself for your fellow man. That itself is bravery. And that is the thing heroes are made of, whether you served in peacetime or not. All right. In addition to that, this week, if you go to our website, all right. Now, I know sometimes if you just go to cross66.org, it takes you to the old website. We're not sure what's going on with that. That shouldn't be happening. But we bought another URL. So if you go to thecross66.org, that one's guaranteed to take you to the right site every time. And we have a new tab listed up there. It's called our Wall of Honor. And if you go there now, you'll actually find there's already a few pictures there of our veterans. You'll find my pretty face. You'll find Brian's pretty face. You'll also find Albert's pretty face. So unfortunately, he's not with us today. However, you know, this is something that we would like to, you know, bring attention to. You know, we have a lot of veterans, a lot of active duty service members in our area. So, you know, for those of you who are serving or those of you who have served, we would love to get your picture up there as well. You can send it through the email. It's listed there on the website, or you can send it to me, whatever works, or you can bring it in. We'll take a picture. You know, we'll find a way, but we'd love to have a picture of you in whatever uniform up there on that slide as well, all right? So now we'll go to that slide that I was going to. I'm going to go into our word a little different today. I'm going to start off with a prayer written by Marine veteran Dick Wilson, which is appropriately named for the day, a Marine prayer. Almighty God, Father of the fatherless, now take me home. I was what others could not be. I went where others feared to go and did what others failed to do. I asked nothing from those who gave nothing, but gave hope, security, and freedom to all. I have seen the face of terror, felt the stinging cold of fear, and experienced the warm comfort of your love and protection through it all. I have enjoyed the sweet taste of life, comrades, love of country, your guiding hand and word. I have cried, failed, pained, loved, and hoped. I have lived times others would say were best forgotten. But what are we in life echoes into eternity. I humbly offer that with your guidance, I have done my duty and lived with the grateful pride of what I am, a United States Marine. Deep sea and sod now hold our bodies, but you, O Lord, guard our souls until that final day when all stand before you guilty. And for those who believe, receive the gift of forgiveness and eternal life. Almighty God, Father of love, through the precious blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, I pray you now take me home, for you have proven to be always faithful. Semper Fidelis. It's a wonderful prayer, isn't it? Now, of course, you know, it calls to being a Marine. But when you actually listen to what's being said, it calls and tugs on the heartstrings of everyone who has ever served or is currently serving. You know, it's when you put on that uniform and you accept the missions that our country has, and they're not always easy. You know, you think about it, it's our country who during times of peace and times of war has beckoned the question. Who will stand the watch? Who will stand the watch? And it's important to note because it actually parallels Isaiah 6:8. And on that note, I'll ask everybody, go ahead and open up your Bible or your Bible app, whatever it is that you use, and let's actually turn to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. So Isaiah 6:8. This week I'm actually reading from the NIV version for part of this. The word says this: Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, Here I am. Excuse me, here am I. Send me. It's the heart of a volunteer. It's the heart of someone answering that quiet call of the Lord in the back of their head, right? To do what's been asked by their people. Right? Their country, their nation, whatever words you want to put to it, their tribe, right? But they're still, they're responding ultimately to a call of God that's been placed upon their hearts. And it is a calling. It's a special calling. And more importantly, whether they realize it or not, they're living out what it means to follow the greatest of commandments. They're living out what it is to love God with all their heart and to love their fellow man. Because it's in their actions. Like I said before, a warrior's path, it's not always easy. Matter of fact, quite often, it's not easy at all. It's quite the opposite, you know. The easiest part's really just walking into the recruiter's office, going, Hey, how's it going, man? What's up? And usually you got some guy sitting behind the desk looking all pretty, and he starts selling things to you like a used car salesman, and you don't even know it. Not to say that they're all like that. There's some actually really good ones out there, but there's a lot of people that have been lied to, unfortunately, in that process. You know, and those guys, they're good. Oh, they're good. You know, that training paid off. I don't know if they stand there in the mirror and they practice on themselves or what, but I'll tell you what. But some of these guys are really good too, though. You know, that's one place where I was blessed. My recruiter, he didn't pull any punches. Not a single one. He said, oh, you've already had surgery on that knee? All right, we're going to have to get that looked at. I can't promise you nothing yet. You know? Not everybody's blessed that well, though. But really, once you get through that recruiting office and you signed that little paper and you got your cool little pulley shirt, whatever it is that they give you now, I don't know, they might give you a uniform away now, I don't know. They do a lot, you know. But you go in there and you start getting ready to go and take that oath, right? Things are already starting to get hard because now that you've gone in and you signed off on that little paper saying, hey, this is my intent, they're already giving you stuff to do. They're giving you knowledge to learn. Like, what? It's like, I was doing this so I'd get money to go to college. I didn't know I was going to be doing this kind of stuff. You know, on top of, hey, guess what? We're also going to go and we're going to run a whole bunch of miles up that hill. I expect you to be there, right? And then you get to your boot camp, your basic, and so on, and it gets harder and harder. And as you travel and you pick up more duties and responsibilities and you pick up rank, it gets harder. That's the nature of the beast. It's not meant to be easy. It's not an easy life, but the payoff when you live for the Lord, it really is. You know, it's just very similar to when we come to Jesus, if you think about it. The easy part's showing up. Listening to what somebody has to say, opening up that Bible. But then you start reading. You start listening. You start hearing. And things in your life start to change. And the more we depend on Christ, the more trials that we start facing, the more the enemy starts attacking. And that's the same as what Isaiah was seeing here. When Isaiah was looking at this, he was recognizing the fact that without God, he was absolutely, without a doubt, powerless to do anything that was truly meaningful, to do anything that was truly going to be lasting and worthwhile. But just like us, he knew that with God standing at his six, supporting him, taking care of him, and up in front of him, leading the way, he could do great things. He could do absolutely great things, which is why he said, send me. Right? Now let's turn to Judges. Book of Judges, chapter 7. So Judges 7, we're going to be going through verses 2 through 7. And the word says, and the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. Now, therefore, proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. And 22,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained. But the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. Then it will be that of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you. The same shall go with you. And of whomever I say to you, this one shall not go with you, the same shall not go. So he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps from the water with his tongue as a dog laps, You shall set apart by himself likewise everyone who gets down on his knees to drink. And the number of those who lapped, putting their hands to their mouth, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink water. Then the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hands. Let all the other people go, every man to his place. See, God, he doesn't just want people who are going to go with the flow. It's not the people, you know, who are more than happy to just kick back and just, you know, whatever. If it gets done, right? He's not looking, at those people who want to do the least amount possible, but for maximum pay, right? It's like we all know those, you know, you're at work, hey, how's it going? Oh, you know, same old, doing the least I can for maximum pay, you know? God doesn't want those people for his army. Those aren't the people who are going to serve him because they're not going to be serving with a grateful heart, right? Instead, he wants people who want to be there. He wants people who are hungry, that are passionate, that have that love and that want and that need in their heart to go out. The people who want to go out and actually get business taken care of. That's who God's looking for. He wants people who are filled with passion. Because when you're filled with passion, you know what that is. You know what your love is. That's where you find your ministry. That's where you find your people. That's where you find the ones who want to listen to what you have to say and hear your testimony. And that's how they come to find Jesus. It's how the Holy Spirit's able to work within you and actually get the attention of others. It's not just another flickering light driving by. It's powerful. It grabs them and it puts them in the spotlight. It says, hey, come here, sit down. Let's chat. Isaiah knew this. And he stepped out in faith saying, send me. These 300 men had passion. They were in it. They were in it to win it, right? We've all heard that saying before. That, you know, just look at how they're chosen, right? You have all these men, they're taken down to the water. You have this big group. They're sitting there and they're taking a knee and they're getting down there with their little cups, you know, pinkies up. Hello. You know, I'm a refined gentleman. This is a gentlemanly art war, you know. We're going to go out. We're going to have our armor spit shine and, you know, our swords are going to be glimmering, you know. Then you have the 300. I kind of like to think of the 300 as those E3s that have been in service for a while. Or even your NCOs, like your corporals, your sergeants, that type. You see in the movies, they're kind of rugged. They got a little dirt on their uniform. You know, it's not quite as crisp. It's a little dirty. They've been out wearing it. It's up to par. They know how to do it. They can clean up real nice when they need to. But when they're in the field, they're dressed for work. Things are broken in. You get that new guy coming out, and they're like, nope, take this off, take this out, throw that away, get rid of this. You don't have this, you're going to need one. You better find one, right? And these are the guys who are down there. They're like, I don't got time for this. I'm not even going to pull up my canteen cup here. They're just scooping up water, and they're just drinking it, right? So it's talking about they're lapping. They're cupping their hands and pulling it up. They're like, you know, let me get this. Okay, I got my fill. I got stuff to do. The Lord's put something in front of me, and it's time to go to it, right? Big old slurp. If they're lucky, maybe there's like a little fish in there, a little guppy or something. They get a snack with it. I don't know. Nothing too dirty. Dirty waters aren't too fun, I'll tell you what. You know, but you know, they're doing what they need to, and then they're moving on. It's not pretty. They're not concerned with how everything looks up here to the masses. They're not trying to create a pretty environment for the press. They're not trying to bring out the pomp and circumstance for the higher ups, right? So that guy, he's got something shiny on his collar. We better make sure everything looks right and goes just perfect while they're here. They're like, nope, get out of the way. I ain't got time for that. They're focused on what God's put before them. Now, for all of us here, we need to think about what's before us, because there's work for all of us to do as well. God has given us work. Every single one of us. As Christians, as believers, we have a duty. We have a mission that we are tasked with. Something that we need to carry out. And don't let there be any doubt in your mind. Don't question it for a second that from the moment you began to believe in Jesus Christ and you accepted him as your Lord and Savior, guess what? You were enlisted into his military. From that moment, you became a soldier for Christ. You are in his ranks. And as such, each and every one of us has an obligation to carry out the Great Commission. So that's the point of it all. We all have a mission. It's right here in Matthew 28. So if you turn to Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. So Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." It's that mission. It tells us to go out into the world, right? He's not saying stay here. He's not saying get comfy, kick up your feet. He's saying go, get out there. Get out into the world to share the gospel, to share the good news, and baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? It's very clear. It's very plain right here. And I know that there's going to be somebody out here thinking, I'm not a soldier. I'm not a warrior. I'm a lover, not a fighter. I beg to differ. So let me ask you this. Do you love Jesus? Do you? Do you love Jesus? Are you willing to die for Jesus? Because if you truly love him, the answer is yes. And when you truly love something, you're willing to fight for it. Lay down your life if need be. Because that's what love is. So do you love Jesus? The answer for each one of us should be yes, 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 right? Passion, fire, that willingness to do what it takes. Goodness. I'm seeing lights and hearing sirens. Oh, Lord be with them, whoever they're going to see. See, when you're a lawyer for Christ, the answer is always going to be yes. And when you love something, when you love someone, you're willing to lay down your life. You're ready to do what needs to be done. With that, I'd like to tell you about the 40 martyrs of Seabast. You might not be too familiar with them. A lot of people aren't, all right, especially not in this part of the world. If you are familiar, hang on. It's going to take a minute. So the 40 martyrs of Seabast, their story takes place around 320 A.D., at this point, Emperor Licinius decided he wanted to get rid of all Christianity in his territory. He wanted it gone. Boom. Out of here. Right? And so he started sending out word. Here, there, everywhere. And he happened to know the Romans 12th Legion, which was nicknamed, the Fulminata, which means the lightning or the thundering legion. They were posted within his territory. This is a legion who was famous not only as skilled warriors, but because of their prayers, because they went out and there was a drought going of some sort, and they went out and they would pray, and then the rains came. The Lord provided. So this is one of those legendary groups. And so word was sent out to the commander of the military forces here in this area in Sebaste, Armenia, which happens to be Turkey now. All right, so if you're familiar with the globe, think Turkey, a little town called Sivas. All right, the Christians of this group, the commander called for them all, said, hey, round them all up. I want them to come here. I want them front and center right now. So they were sent for. They come out. Here come all these men. And he tells them, hey, this is the deal. You're going to renounce your faith. You're going to burn and make sacrifices, not only to our emperor, but to the gods that the emperor has told us to worship, because those are our gods. And if you do this, you're going to be honored. If you don't do this, you're going to lose all of your military rank and status, and you're going to be left in disgrace. And I want you to take some time to think about this tonight. So to make sure that you're taking it seriously, and so you know how serious it is, you're all being locked up for the night. So all 40 of these men were taken, and they were locked up. They were put into jail for the night to think about it. So they took the night, and they sing hymns to each other. They pray. They're brought back out before the commander. Commander says, okay, you're here. It's good to see you. These are you good-looking guys. Oh, and the stories of your valor, oh, they're second to none. You guys are heroes. Beautiful. He's buttering them up, right? He says, so you've had some time. You know what's going on. You know what's what. What do you say? And they're like, nope. You're out of your mind. Not only are we saying no, but there's nothing you can do to us that's going to change our mind. No way, dude. So he's pretty angry at this point. He's embarrassed and he's infuriated. Not only are they telling him no, but the way that they're talking to him, like, you not know who you're talking to? Back to jail with you. So not only are you going to go back, they send word out, get an official, a little bit higher up, somebody a little bit more clout comes in. So this guy comes in, this official shows up, tries to convince him, hey, just do what you're told. It's going to be okay. Nothing's going to come of it. No harm, no foul. Seems fair, right? A lot of guys at this point are like, okay, it's getting kind of serious. It's like, we got the governor up in here. Whew. Nah, not doing it. Forget about it. Nope. Nope, nope, nope. Governor's like, sure? All right. Now let's get off my back. It's all on you. Commander, take care of it. Sounds like someone's car alarm's going off out there. Anyway. Go check it. You sure? Okay. Everybody's checking their keys right now. It's actually nice because, as my wife was saying, it's nice you could hear it because I couldn't hear it before. Well, we had an alarm at our house and I couldn't hear it. It's going off. She's like, you can't hear that? Like, nope. That's pretty loud. But anyway, rabbit trails. So let's get checked on. Anyway, so I said, nope, no way, not going to do it. Commander, take care of him. Deal with the situation. Well, the winners in this particular part of the world, they're known for being particularly extra frigid. They're a special kind of cold, real special kind of cold, bitter. And you think about what people wore for clothing back then at that. It wasn't exactly great. You think about what we're wearing right now. We go outside, even just this morning. It's a little chilly out. Right? These guys, they had to really put on layers. They had to go and stand next to fires to keep warm. Well, knowing that it's extra cold, and just outside of this town, there was a lake. And because the temperatures dropped so much, you could take all 40 of these men and then some, walk them out onto this lake without fear of it giving way and any of them falling down. Guys, I got it. I know it's going to convert them. If this doesn't convert them, they're going to die. It's in their hands. So he tells them, hey, guess what? This is what's going to happen. We're going to go out here to this lake, but before you go on it, I want to make something clear. There's going to be some bathhouses set up over here with nice warm water. We're going to build some fires up. We're going to keep that water nice and warm. And you guys are going to get marched out here on this lake, but you're not just going to get marched out here on this lake. You're going to be stripped down naked. And we're going to march you all out here in the middle of this lake, and you're going to stand there all night or until you decide to renounce your faith. If you renounce your faith, you can come in. We'll get you in one of these bathhouses. We'll get you warmed up. You'll be good to go. It's like nothing ever happened. These guys were a bunch of wild men. Check this out. I love this. They go to march him out there. Here's the lake. They see it. They start acting like a bunch of college kids in like an old 70s or 80s movie. They're tearing off their clothes, and they go running out on the lake. Woo! It's cold. They got the fires kicked on. The water's getting warmed up. And here's a bunch of naked Roman soldiers, 40 of them, singing hymns, praying, kind of standing up next to each other a little bit. They're facing God. They're not breaking. Not going to happen. So the night starts going on. There's another Roman guard that's not part of this legion. He's standing off to the side next to a fire on the side of the bathhouse trying to keep warm. He's watching what's going on while everybody else is starting to turn in for the night, go to sleep, all that kind of thing. It's just his turn on the watch. But he's amazed at what he's seeing. Here's these guys in these in basically sub-zero temperatures, butt naked, and they're just on fire for the Lord. They're singing hymns, they're praying. Nothing's going to break them. And then it gets to a point later into the evening, the temperature's finally dropped. One of these legionnaires walks in off the ice. Says, that's it. I tap, I give, I renounce my faith. Like, okay, cool. You go in this bathhouse over here, get in the water, we'll warm up. So dude, he goes running. He hops in that water. He dies of shock. Done. The remaining 39, they're still out there. They're not budging. They're still singing hymns. They're still praying. They're still standing out there together. Shivering, but they're standing out there. And this guard, this legionnaire who's off to the side, who's been watching the whole thing, at this point, he has this image of crowns on all of their heads. He's like, you know what? These guys aren't breaking. Their God is the God. I believe in them, and I believe in their God. And at this point, he himself finds their faith because he knows of their faith in Christ. So he goes to the other officials that are there. He says, you know what? Mm-mm. These guys have proved to me beyond the shadow of a doubt that Jesus is our Lord. So he strips off his clothes, and he goes running out there onto the ice, and he joins the other 39, bringing their number back up to 40. And he stays there. So the rest of the night goes on. Not a single person comes off the ice. Morning comes, and they go out to check on him. Almost everybody has frozen to death at this point, and those who haven't are on their last breaths. They don't have much longer. They never gave up. They never gave up. And they epitomized. They gave an example of love. This is an example of what warriors who are truly committed and truly believe in Christ believe in, what they're willing to do, the lengths that they're willing to go for. And they knew what was going to happen to them. We turn to John 15. John 15, verse 13. Jesus says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. No greater love than to lay down your life for Christ. That's what these men did. It's what these martyrs did. And it's what thousands of other people have done since. There's martyrs still being killed today for the love of Christ. So let me ask you, are you hungry yet? Are you hungry? Are you feeling passion? Are you feeling that fire? You're like, whoa, you're just talking about death, and now you're asking if I'm hungry? What? I'm not trying to be morbid here, but are you hungry for the love of Christ? Are you hungry for what he has to offer, what we know is waiting for us in eternity? We're going to suffer here one way or another. So is it worth it to suffer and try to minimize it for a little bit of comfort for a small period of time? Or is it worth it to go through it and to lean into Christ and to depend on him for everything that he has to provide us, because he's already done everything for us? He's already done it all. Are you willing to sacrifice your own life for love? And that's the path that's before us all. There's a fork in the road where we have to decide, am I willing to do it or not? Because that path, it's difficult. It's going to be difficult. However, we're never alone. We're going to meet brothers and sisters in Christ along the way, but we're never alone because the Holy Spirit is with us and guiding us every step of the way. I said, when you love something, you have to be ready to fight, because anything worth loving is worth fighting for, is worth dying for. And you have to be willing to fight for it. If you're not willing to fight for it, then do you truly love it? God fought for us. He's fought for us several times since day one. He fought for us so hard that he sent Jesus to take the cross, to be nailed to a tree, to die for us. He died for us, taking away our sin and our iniquity, covering us in his blood, so we could be reunited with the Father. A punishment he didn't deserve. That's love. And now it's our turn to get in the fight and to show the world who God is, what God's love is. God is love. So get in the fight. Now, on a final note here, before we get ready to close, there are many people who have wondered over the years, how do I thank a veteran? How do I thank someone who's put on a uniform and gone out and done something for me and for our people? It's a common question. There have actually been people who have come up to me. It's like, hey, you served. I've always felt funny doing this. How do I do this? The answer is actually easier than you think, but a whole lot harder than most people are prepared. And that is, simply live a life worth their sacrifice. To live a life worth the sacrifice of Christ. That's it. Because the actions and the things that you do and the way you treat your fellow man, the things that you're willing to do for your fellow man, it speaks volumes. Our warriors didn't go out there to die for nothing. They went out to die for an ideal and for love. And make no doubt about it, our country was founded on an ideal that is based in love for another man, breaking them away from slavery and other bondage. So live a life worth their sacrifice. Live a life worth the sacrifice of Christ. So we're going to pray now real quick. And when I'm done with this prayer, we have a video that we're going to watch real quick. All right, so let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the men and women who are still willing to take that oath of a warrior. Those men and women who are willing to stand a post and show the world what it is to reach out in love, even when they may not realize that they're doing it. When they may not truly realize whether or not they're coming here or being called home to you. We ask that you guide their steps, keep them from running astray, and provide for their safety every step of the way. Not only while they're away from their families and loved ones, their homes, but away from the places that they just yearn to be, while they're working in something that is bigger than themselves, something that's bigger than each and every one of us. We ask the same for every one of us as we go out and we go into the world as you've told us to, that we remember to put on your armor as we march out into those dark places with your light, and that we take that light and we wield it in a way that points the way to you and to your glory and not our own. That we remember that it's on us to lift up our fellow man and to look out for them even when they can't or they won't do it for themselves. And as the weather shifts, we ask for the strength and the fortitude that's going to be needed in dealing with the many things in our lives and the many people we come across, so that we can provide an example for others to look towards in you. We thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for your mercy. And we thank you for your grace. And ultimately, we thank you for your love and the sacrifice that you've made for us. And all of his people said, amen. All right. Thank you all for joining us here today at Healing Scars with Pastor Burton. Please like, subscribe, and share our podcast on any platform it is that you tune into us on. If you do have any questions, any prayer requests, or would like to know more about our ministry, you can find us on our website at bethelightsanctuary.org or on Facebook at Be The Light Sanctuary. You could also find how to contact us there, whether it's direct message or email. We look forward to hearing from you all. God bless.